Question 114. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? John 11:40. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Mary was distraught. She was, all at once, worried and hurt, afraid and sad, tired and confused. Although many were kind, none could offer her pleasantness or beauty. She may never see beauty again, or so it seemed. Though family was understanding and helpful, they couldn't make her comfortable. Her mind reeled in contradictions and inconsistency. She wanted everyone to go away, and yet she didn't want to be alone. Everything was dulled. Everything was amplified. She was in a fog of illusion, where the only reality presented to her senses was the loss of her brother. Lazarus is dead. She rejected the thought, then she accepted it only to reject it again. Only the one who experiences a loss such as this can know how the mind whirls, the heart aches, the body sickens as it longs to touch and hold who can be at hand no more. As the flesh seeks its lost companion, the spirit seeks its own kind as well. All to no avail. Nothing is to be done but to invite the awful, inevitable truth into one's mind and cry, Alas, my poor brother! Jesus witnessed the pain Mary felt and succumbed to it when he contagiously wept at the very sight of her grief. It was not only hers, but the grief of those in the scene of tragedy that cut into his heart of compassion. And in this sadness, now his own, Jesus wept. When we are emotional, many points of logic elude us. Many things we would normally do, almost instinctively, are hard to accomplish or difficult to perform. Sometimes the normal or mundane are nearly aggravating and are done reluctantly, questioning within, what difference does this make now that I am immersed in my tragic loss? But there's a time of shaking back to reality that comes and presents itself to you and tells you that it's time to get back to work, time to rise and be about life again. The question Jesus asked Mary was just such a question. You're slipping back into grief, Mary. Wake up. Let's get back to work. With her heart broken, she was having a hard time remembering the words of the Savior, even the ones recently spoken to her. If you had been here, my brother had not died, she said when Jesus arrived. I'm sure he had the same conversation with her as he had with her sister Martha moments before. Jesus told her that her brother would rise again, and she answered automatically, I know that in the resurrection he will rise again. She and her sister had probably consoled each other with this promise for the past few days. Then Jesus reminded her that he was the resurrection and the life. She blinked as if she had received the first of several shakes to awaken her from sleep. We can only assume from the text that Jesus went on to tell her that if she would believe, that she would, on that very day, see the power of God. She blinked, stared into his eyes, and wondered again to herself, is he saying that death is not a barrier, even now? Jesus asked her to go where Lazarus was buried. Upon arrival at the tomb, he asked to have the stone removed from the grave. Mary suddenly realized that she and Christ were at cross purposes. Surely he knows that he cannot visit Lazarus in the grave. The body has surely begun to deteriorate by now. She warned him not to enter. Jesus realizing by her remarks that she was re-entering her newfound reality of mourning and separation from her beloved brother, asked her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" The third shake to wake her was given, and now she started to realize that Jesus had come to do something great. We become dull and hinder ourselves when our emotions thicken our ears, impairing our hearing by which we receive the Word of God. Emotion, like wine, is not a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing. Too much of either, or an unhealthy indulgence of either, at the wrong place and time, or for the wrong reason, can damage the understanding, and even dependencies can form. There comes a time when sobriety and logic are to be reinstated and utilized as an act of our will. Anything that deprives them from their rightful seat in our intellect for an inordinate amount of time becomes a hindrance to our growth and betterment. Emotion can enhance any situation. It can also mask truth and reality. It's the duty of the aware Christian to identify and clarify the truth in any circumstance. It is the only atmosphere in which God can act, operate, and communicate. A God who is the embodiment of truth can only work in an environment of truth. Clouds of emotion can obscure facts and hinder positive movements and even cause us to work against the very power of our imminent deliverance. As Mary stepped in front of Jesus and warned him not to open the tomb, she was working against the power that was working on her behalf. If she could just see, if she could just hear, if she could just understand. Alas, she could not surmount her grief. Emotion can hide Christ deep within and hinder his words from being recalled when we need to hear them most. Our bodily comfort and five physical senses can shout out demands that drown out the still, small voice who guides us. It's tough to think in spiritual terms when we physically hurt. It's nearly impossible to think of him who knows no three-dimensional boundaries while being beaten upon three-dimensional rocks. It's hard to consider the miraculous while we're living in the miracle-less. It's difficult to know our lives are hidden in Christ when Christ is hidden in our lives. Whether it comes from wine or song, emotion or grief, we must shake off the drunkenness that insulates us from the unpleasant and remember the promises of God. Can we not hear the Savior calling to us to remember his words in the midst of our grief and pain? "Come unto me, all ye that labor. I'll give you rest." Have we so deeply indulged ourselves in grief that we forget the promises of Christ? "If a man believe in me, he will never die, and though he were dead, yet shall he live." You must hear, and you must remember the words of Christ. Even in your pain and suffering, even when you hurt and grieve, you must consider his words as promises and not try to think in ways that only salve your current heartaches and soothe your present pains. When Mary was grieved, her thinking was obscured. Her reactions were earthly. Her mind was bound to the three-dimensional world. When you give free rein to your emotions and make no provision for the power of Christ to make needed changes, you need to listen to Christ's question to Mary, as if he were talking to you. Stop. Call upon the Savior to help you see things the way they really are. Determine to believe the words of Christ. In your grief, in your pain, will you keep reality in sight? Will your ears be open? Will you hear Him say to you, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"